Hello, word bosses, and welcome to the Pinpoint Your Perspective podcast, where our mission is to enlighten you with tips, tricks, and pertinent information to perfect your writing craft. We will talk about all things writing and speak with writers of all genres and backgrounds. I'm Erica Parker, author of Pinpoint Your Perspective, Writer's Instructional Handbook, writing coach, ghostwriter, and editor at Lyrical Innovations. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. This is Erica Parker on behalf of the Divas That Care Network on the Pinpoint Your Perspective podcast, where we discuss all things writing. And today we have a special guest with us, Miss Britt. So I'm very excited to have her because she has authored two wonderful books. The first one is Real Talk, Quotes to Get You Through to Becoming a Better You. And the second one is Sincerely Yours, My Poems and Thoughts. So without further ado, thank you, Miss Britt, for joining us today.
Thank you, Erica, for having me.
Yes, so I'm so excited to have you here in the studio because you've really done some great things with your books as well as with some of the events that you have locally with advertising your books, which I definitely commend you because it doesn't end with just getting the product in someone's hand. You then also want them to read it. You want them to experience what you experience when writing it and to connect to you as an author. So tell us a little bit about that strategy of like how to actually get your readers engaged.
My strategy is just to write from the heart, honestly, and try not to overthink anything. Mm-hmm. And I just go with the flow with it. Whatever comes to my mind and my heart, I'm always putting stuff in my OneNote, writing down side notes or whatever. And eventually later on, I end up putting them in the book. I tweak them myself sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it just flows exactly how it's supposed to flow and it's just right.
That is awesome. So tell me about your practice of getting your readers engaged by having the local events and things like that. Kind of walk us through that because a lot of writers out there, they push the book, you know, they have the book launch party, people come out and support, but then when you ask for feedback, oh, I haven't gotten to it yet. So how do you get them engaged with your content?
Okay, so actually I just had a book talk last week. And what I did one of the activities from the poetry workshops that I attend where you make a line from a poem, you know, you make it into a whole nother poem. So I had the audience do an exercise where one of my lines out of one of my poems, out of Sincerely Yours, they can write another poem out of that or a statement. So that was one thing that I did to get them engaged. Not just ask them directly for feedback that they have. So that went pretty well. That's one of the things I've started to do. And just thinking of different little ideas to, you know, make people want to interact and get out. Of course, food always draws everybody.
Definitely. So tell me a little bit more about your books. You know, if you want to start with Real Talk, Quotes to Get You Through to Becoming a Better You, tell me about that one and what was your inspiration for writing it?
Sure. So I've always known that I wanted to write. I've enjoyed writing since I've started school, since I can read or write, so since I was 4 years old. That process with that book actually took me a few years because I had no idea about how to get published, and I work at a library myself, so just doing the research and reading, coming across different people and networking. I have a writing mentor that's based in Las Vegas. She gave me a lot of good pointers. Once I did that, I started that book, and what I really had to do, I had to just start there and stop everything else I was doing because I had so many different ideas and so much going on. I had to say to myself, okay,
you can get carried away, right?
Exactly. I'm like, okay, I need to focus on this one thing.
Yes.
Just totally dedicate my time working on this and then work on the next thing. So that book, the Real Talk book, is a book of my own personal quotes directly from me, original, and affirmations. So I just wanted something that people that can, they can carry it in their purse or in their bag, something that they need like motivation for the day, something they can carry for travels. It's very simplistic, but it's filled with a lot of different advice and, you know, life points and life tips and just everyday happenings that people can relate to.
Right. Absolutely. So then in your second book, Sincerely Yours, we kind of step it up a little bit, right? We get a little more more personal. We get a little more into relationships. We get into, you know, what are some of the different issues and topics that you touch on in that project?
Well, the funny thing about Sincerely Yours, a lot of that I wrote when I was a teenager. I started to keep a book when I was about 14 years old. Mm-hmm. That project was on the back burner for a while for personal reasons, you know, family, things happen in family and things like that. So, but I finally got it together. Some of the poems are within the past 3 or 4 years about heartache and disappointments and things. But like I said, the majority of it, it was written when I was a teenager. Just how I was feeling self-esteem-wise, a lot of the time, spiritual, love, things that I have experienced or may not have experienced. And, and it took a lot to come out with it.
Was it more so journaling, or was it the love of poetry? And, you know, what do you think was your main reason for writing all these thoughts down?
I really enjoy the format of poetry and everything. Once high school, I started in high school and writing, we had to do like little projects. I was like, oh, I like this. So I continued on just over the years, and teens, 20s, like I said, the more current things. And just kind of really came back around to it within the past, you know, few years, and put everything else together for that book.
Okay. So what do you think is one of your poems in the Sincerely Yours book that you would like to share with whoever is listening out there today? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, but, no, that's okay.
I think every writer has a favorite piece, short story, poem, whatever it is. Is there anything in particular that you're like, I don't know, I think I connect the most with this, and I think the listeners would. Anything that kind of defines you?
That defines me? I would share one of how I used to feel.
Okay. So how you used to feel. You're not there anymore. You've moved past it, but...
No, with self-esteem.
Okay, okay. And we all, you know, as women, we go through that where... I'm going through it right now. You know, I have a young daughter. She's 3. And every time I put on an outfit, I think, I look like a mommy. And it doesn't matter how cute the outfit is. I'm like at the store like, yes, I'm about to own this. And then I bring it home and I put on my accessories and I put on my makeup. And I'm like, I look like a mommy. Like, I don't want to look like this. I want to go on my date night. I want to look nice. So I do definitely have the mommy insecurities right now. But we're ready to hear whatever it is that you want to share with us.
You know what? I'm actually going to share Being Black is Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Because I remember, and I never told my parents about this. It was just the perception that they had on television, and it was no one that looked like me. And I remember being in the tub and remember like looking like I thought I was turning white, and I was like excited about that. And I'll think about that like when I got older, like that's really, really crazy. So this is called Being Black is Beautiful. I'm dark and lovely with natural essence and beauty. I am uniquely me, not letting society tell me the way I should be. Being black is beautiful. We come in various shades, shapes, and sizes, with ethnic distinctive features appealing for the eye to see. I love my pretty brown skin. I love being me.
Oh, awesome. Yes. I think that becomes a moment, right? It becomes like that moment where you're like, no more.
Exactly.
Like, God made me this way, and I don't know anyone more amazing than God. So if he made me this way and he approved of me, then I need to approve of myself, right?
Yes.
I think you're fine until you get out in society and they project whatever it is that their idea of beauty is onto you. And it's like, wow, that doesn't look like me. That doesn't sound like me. And then you start to really question, you know, your beauty. But it's been there all the time. And no matter what your thoughts are, it's still there. And others might recognize it in you, but you may not recognize it in you. So
that is very true.
Tell me more about that.
Or about
that process and how you felt, that empowerment you felt when you wrote it.
Just becoming more conscientious of a lot of truths that they don't teach in society. I know that's a whole nother soapbox.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to get too far in that. But just realizing certain things on that note, and how society, they don't show the true perception of the population just globally.
Right.
And they show what they want to show to make money for their own insecure purposes, you know, and it's all about power also as well, and keeping people kind of in this box. And you have to take yourself out of that box and just realize what you're capable of and what God has placed to you for the world. And just like you said, this is how you're made. And it's okay. This is you. This is how you were meant to be. This is how you were put here. So this is you. And accept that and appreciate that. Because there's no one like you. You're an original.
You're right. Exactly. So tell me about the Hospice of the Western Reserve. You know, that's something that's near and dear to your heart. How did you, you know, I think you said your best friend kind of introduced you to, you know, this wonderful opportunity. Tell me more about that and what your passion is tied to that.
Yes, so my grandmother, actually, she had fallen ill suddenly. She was terminal. That was toward the end of 2014. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for layered care for her once we had to put her in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So my best friend, she told me about Hospice of the Western Reserve and just the compassionate staff there, mm-hmm. and how involved they were with the family and the patients. So I, you know, gave them a call, and she wasn't in a nursing home very long. She passed away within that week, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. within that week. But they were just hands-on. They were right there when she had passed away. The spiritual staff was there. They mm-hmm. were just very supportive. And they were just good layered care. During the time she was there, they visited her. You know, they attended to her. They did her hair. They made her feel great. And I'm like, and I tell them all the time when I go to art bereavement therapy, they need staff in the nursing homes like you guys, because you guys really are empathetic and sympathetic to the families mm-hmm. and the patients.
Mm-hmm. Was your grandmother a lover of your writing? Did you ever share any of your writing with your grandmother, or is any of your writing about your grandmother?
I did share a lot with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. I used to write short stories and stuff all mm-hmm. the time. Being in school, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. My mm-hmm. grandmother actually used to draw all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would write stories to her drawings, too.
Oh, nice.
So we did that for a long time while I was younger.
Do you have any of that or any of the drawings?
Yeah, I did.
That should be your next book. How awesome would that be to be able to couple the writing with the drawings and just kind of have that ability to, you know, have something that will make her last forever in the relationship that you had with her through writing, through art, to couple the two.
That's true. That's really something to think about.
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So tell me about how you mentioned you had some poems from your last 3 or 4 years in Sincerely Yours. Where do you go or what practice do you use to get your writing done, because you work a full-time job and you have other things and other responsibilities. So, you know, what is your best practice for carving that time out to write?
I am very unorthodox. So mm-hmm. when I'm at work and I'm thinking about something mm-hmm. or just some emotion or whatever comes over me, mm-hmm. I'll write it down.
Okay.
I'll write it down or I'll add it to my flash drive, because I'm always working on new material, and mm-hmm. I have material now that I'm working on my next poetry project. So a lot of that will be in there. And it's just really, the next one is going to be like the rest of the exhale, I think, of heartache and disappointment and all those things, more on a personal end, right. more so.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So tell me if you could do anything. I know you mentioned short stories. If you could do anything other than the poetry and the short stories, what would you take a stab at? What do you think would be something that you'd be interested in trying?
Genre-wise for writing? Yes. I like memoirs.
Okay.
I like memoirs also. Mm-hmm. I like mm-hmm. that process and just reflecting on certain moments in your life.
Okay.
I would like to do that also.
Nice, nice. Any particular era or time or anything that was kind of pivotal for you that you think you would like to write about?
Probably just since society has changed, like, you know, Erica, and this short span of time from when we were kids, probably about, you know, mid-80s to like early 90s, growing up and going outside and doing
so
the regular
good.
Stuff.
Life kids, was great.
Yeah, kids don't know how that feel now. And it wasn't that long ago. That's right. The scary part. And mm-hmm. the world is so different.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I can remember, so many things. Walking up to the store, it was like about 6 blocks away mm-hmm. on the main road. I would never let my kids do that now, but I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12, walking up to get Penny Candy at Network Video in Warrensville Heights.
Oh, wow.
And then walking up to Randallwood to go to the playground, or to John Dewey to go to the playground, and then also ride my bike all the way up, like, throughout the neighborhood to Randall Park Mall and Harvard Road and just playing until the streetlights came on and not even coming home to use a bathroom, using my friend's bathroom, drinking out the water hose, like not even wanting to go in the house because I knew that, you know, there was a possibility that I couldn't come back out. And you're right, these kids these days don't have that opportunity. They have, you know, iPads and, you know, gaming systems and everything else that kind of, I guess, just kind of distracts them from the beauty of nature and just, you know, developing those social relationships. So,
and that's important. And that's why I like a lot of in-person interaction and communication. Mm-hmm. And my biggest thing about technology, this is what I always say at events I go to, it's our biggest convenience and it's also our biggest hindrance. There's no balance.
Absolutely.
And you need balance. Kids need to experience that stuff and everything, just being carefree and simplistic and not having her eyes on a screen 24/7, run through the sprinklers and do stuff like that and play sports and do all those crazy things.
And you know what I realized was that I think a lot of it is also falls on parents, because if I tell my daughter who's 3, hey, let's play hide and seek, she'll drop that iPad. It'll be smoking. I mean, she would drop it and run to go play hide and seek with me. So I think a lot of it also can sometimes fall on the parents. And we have a love of reading in my house. I've been reading since, like you said, as long as I can remember, since I was 4 years old. And they love to read and they love to, you know, experience the magic of reading. And that, you know, grows their imagination and they make up stories and we write them down. And
it's
definitely, you know, we had that. So we have to make sure that in a certain capacity, making sure that it's safe, that our kids have it as well. So that love of reading and love of life.
I think also too that the imagination is lacking now because of the technology. People don't put much into the creative process anymore because they have so much at their fingertips.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I just like to write from the heart. I really don't rely on stuff online as much as it's heartfelt stuff or observation from just people watching and things like
that in
regards to that process.
Absolutely. So what can we expect from Miss Britt? Like, what do you have going on? You know, I know you mentioned you're working on your third book and poetry. Is there anything else that we can expect from you, or how can we find your book? Where can we find it?
My books are available on BarnesandNobles.com and Amazon.com. Just type in my author name, Miss Britt, MissBritt, and you should get the hits for the books. I am looking to do more events soon, so, and you know, probably later fall.
Here in the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Yes.
Because we're gonna claim that international podcast, but they can still support you by jumping on Amazon or Barnes & Noble to find your book. But yeah, here locally, here in Cleveland, Ohio, Britt has definitely been putting on some really great events to keep her readers and supporters engaged. And I definitely suggest anyone that's an aspiring or published author out there to do the same. Not just settling for, okay, they bought the book and on to the next sale, but just engaging them and letting them feel that connection to you as an author, as well as to the book itself, so that when your next book comes out, it's a no-brainer. They're definitely excited to support.
Right. And what I like about the books and the feedback that I have received, they are simplistic reads, but they give you a lot also to take with you. So it's not like a novel. It's not super heavy. Because I'm an author of brevity, and I do that on purpose because I know how society is and how fast paced it is and, you know, today's and age and all of that. And I just want something people can have and take with them and just think about life again for a moment and, you know, really take that with them.
Absolutely. Well, I have definitely enjoyed my time with you, Miss Britt. I think that the listeners out there are really going to get some great, you know, encouragement from reading your books and get inspired. And please come back anytime. You're more than welcome to come back out and join us. And for those that are listening, please, you know, make sure that you're checking in for our Pinpoint Your Perspective episodes. They come out about every week or so, and we talk about all things writing. So please either follow us on Instagram and submit your questions that you might have for upcoming guests, or period, whatever topic you might want to hear from us. We are more than happy to share that knowledge with you. And until next time, take care, guys.
Bye.